If I were asked to describe the next speaker with one word, that word would be passion. He's passionate about everything he does. He's passionate about what he writes, and he's passionate about what he speaks. And he's passionate about the goals and the accomplishments of the Parnassa Network because he's seen the palpable passion of the organization's founder. It is a kavod to introduce to you the beloved Magid, Rabbi Pesach Kron.
I'm deeply grateful to my friend Rav Dovi Honig and to all that are involved in the Parnassa Network for inviting me to come to speak to you tonight. Tonight, it's very special for me for two reasons, and those are both honorees. I feel very close to both of them. The first one is my dear brother-in-law, Rabbi Yehuda Abraham. He's not only a dear brother-in-law, but he's a very good friend. And the sign of a very good friend is somebody who's willing to criticize you when he thinks you're wrong. Today, not too many people criticize me, but I could always count on Yehuda, and I appreciate it. And if you think he criticizes me, you should see my brother Kalman, those of you who know him. Besides, Yehuda to me represents the true Ben Torah in the workplace, a person who, as we will speak later on, what an ideal balabos is supposed to be, who represents Torah and Yerushalayim and is Mekadesh Shem Shamayim in every place that he goes. The second honoree is also a dear friend. His name is Rav Chesky Kaftail. Most of you cannot possibly know how many different stokas he's involved with. I know a few of them because I'm involved in certain ones, but here's a person who people think they know him as a public figure, but as a private figure, he has given of himself and of his funds to so many people in need in such a derech kavod. It's incredible, and it's an honor to know you, Rav Cheskel. Every day, we daven three times a day, Shemayin Esra. And in the middle part of Shemayin Esra, which is Bakosha, we ask for Parnosa. And it's interesting, we don't mention the word Parnosa once. Instead, we use the word Borech or Brocha. Now, if you daven Nusach Sfard, you say the word Borech six times. If you daven Nusach Ashkenaz, you say it four times. Borech Aleinu Hashem Alekeinu Sashon Azois Veskomenei Sosol HaToyva Vesein Brocha Over Saint Talamot of Rocha, Vesabenu Mituva, Uvorech Shonasena Kashon Matavis Labrocha, Kikel Toiva Matevotam, Uvorech Hashonim, Baruch Ato Hashem, Uvorech Hashonim. Why is Parnassa called a Brocha? Nothing else that we ask for is called a Brocha. And I think that the reason that we call Parnassa, we're asking Hashem for Brocha, is because the fact that we have to go to work is really a klala. Klal Yisrael and humanity was cursed by Hashem when Adam Arishan did the Aveira. The Eibishter said, "Bezeyas apecha toichal lechem," by the sweat of your brow, you're going to have to eat bread. In other words, it's not easy to make a parnosa. This was one of the worst curses in the world. I will never forget the first time I heard this Gemara. I could still picture Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, our Rosh Hashiva and Tarvadas, telling us this Gemara. I was shocked. I had never heard of the Gemara. Sanhedrin Nun Tes Amud Beis. Rab Shimon ben Menasya says, Chaval, what a shame. Al Shamiz Godol Sha'ovad Mina Oilam. On that great attendant that was lost from the world. She'il Molei Niskale Al Nochash. If the Nochash was not cursed, you know, imagine this. Kol Echad Ve'echad Mi Yisrael. Each one of us would have had two nechoshim, one on our right side, one on our left side. They would accompany us. They would do everything for us. You have to go to to the store to get something, the nachash will go for you. You have to have somebody carpool your kids to yeshiva, Beis Yaakov, the nachash will drive. It's not a problem. You have to have a business deal, he'll go to Milwaukee for you. Whatever you want, anything you wanted, every one of us would have had two nachashim. As a matter of fact, the Mashal explains, HaNachash HaYamitzad B'riyusay. The original nachash was HaNivcha Mekulam, smarter than all the animals, and it was someplace between man and an animal. You were able to talk to the nachash, and it stood on 2 feet. It was only after the curse that it was on its belly. But otherwise, as Rabbi Yaakov writes in Emes LeYaakov and Bereishis Gimel Yudalet, Ki HaNachash B'tchilas B'riyusay, the nachash had intelligence just like a person. The nachash was like a robot, like a human, almost like a human robot. The only thing Rabbi Yaakov said, it didn't have free choice. Could you imagine if each of us didn't have to do a thing for Parnasa? And these two nachashim, they'd be our pals. They could do anything we wanted. And Nebuch, that was lost. That's why we say to Hashem, please, please, please give us bracha, bracha, bracha. Take away that terrible klola. And you know what Shlomo HaMelech tells us? This is a fact of life. V'hakesef yana es hakoil. Money is the answer. And Rashi says, im ain kesef ain suda. You have no money. You're not eating. Every one of us must make money. You cannot deny that. As a matter of fact, l'ficha, Rashi says, lo yis'atze lo demen amalocha. Don't be lazy. Go out and work. Accomplish. Because you're going to need something. You need money. You need money for tuition. You need money for food. You need money for gas. You need money. That's what Shlomo HaMelech is telling us. Even the Satmar Rebbe understood that. The Satmar Rebbe was once collecting for one of his meisters, and somebody gave him $47. So the Rebbe said, what's $47? Where did you get that amount? So the guy said, Rebbe, it's begamatria your name, Yoel, Yud Vov Aleph Lamed is 47. So the Rebbe said, in the Haim, Flek Mechrif and Yoelish. In the old country, they called him Yoelish. So you could be sure that he paid the extra $310. I want to tell you now something that I think is such a yesod in Yahadus. Rav Sham Shofol Hirsch points this out. In the beginning, when Hashem was speaking to Avram Avinu, Hashem says to him, I'm going to make you into a great nation. And listen to these two words. Be a blessing. Rav Sham Shofol Hirsch explains that most people think, you know what it means? You'll be rich and famous. But that's wrong. He says, was instruction to Avram Avinu and to every Yid. Become a person of blessing. This is the mantra that every one of us here tonight has to take on for the rest of our lives. V'heyei brocha. You know what Rav Sham Shofol Hirsch says? Be inspirational. Be giving. Bring happiness to mankind. Bring chizuk to other people. That's what a yid is supposed to be. V'heyei brocha. We tonight come to assist and to help and to recognize a person in our generation who is the essence of v'heyei brocha. And that's our dear friend, Rav Dovi Honig. Who didn't see the problem years ago? Thousands of guys leaving the kollel. They had learned a certain amount. They were big talmid chachamim, but they had 4, 5, 6 kids, and they were in debt, and they couldn't stay in learning anymore. They didn't have the head for it anymore. Not everybody can be in learning. Some guys could be a Rosh Hashiva. Some guys could be Rabbanim. But these guys were going no place as far as learning was concerned. They learned, but now they were frustrated. Not only they were frustrated, their wives were frustrated. And their kids were unhappy. Because when a father is unhappy in a home and he feels he has no direction, it affects the entire house. And so Nebuch, these guys, they didn't know what to do. We got to put bread on the table. We owe so much money. We're sick of taking government funds. We want to feel like we're people. Like we have some self-esteem. We're bringing it. But how are you going to move? Who's going to do something about it? We all saw the problem. And especially a couple years ago, when the recession hit hard, there were people here in Lakewood. Their fathers-in-law stopped supporting them. One father-in-law actually took away the easy pass from his son-in-law. That's how desperate he was. He couldn't pay anything anymore. So who was going to help these guys? One man, V'heye Brocha, this person, Dovi Honig. What did he do? He heard the music. You know what music he heard? The music of another person named David, David HaMelech. Listen to this beautiful Gemara. Brachas Gimel Amud Beis. Kinar. There was a harp. Hoyatola Lamaila Mitosa Shel David. There was a harp. And then at night, by Chatzois, a wind would come and it would blow the music on the strings of the harp. And David HaMelech would get up and he would learn all night. And then in the morning, Kivan Sheola Amoida Shachar, Nichnesu Chachme Yisrael. The Chachme Yisrael would come into David HaMelech after the harp, after the learning, and they would say, Adonenu HaMelech, our master, our king, Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Parnasa, Klal Yisrael needs Parnasa, what are we going to do? They're wonderful people, they're capable people, Elech Yidden, what are they going to do? They need Parnasa. You know what David HaMelech's answer was? Omroloi, he said to them, Lechu v'nisparnasu zemizeh, go support each other. And Duvi heard that music. Duvi understood what David HaMelech went. Every one of us, if we work together, those that have jobs can try to give those that need jobs. And those that need jobs should be able to go find people who can give them jobs. Lechu v'nisparnasu zemizeh. That's what David HaMelech said. And that's what Duvi Honig heard. He heard that call, and that's when he started the Parnosa Network. And I want to tell you something. I don't know if all of you understand. It took me a while to understand. I called Duvi so many times, but he's always flying all over the place. He's got 25 ideas talking at the same time. Somebody told me about Duvi. His feet are firmly planted in the air. It's an amazing description of him. Thank you. It's a great description. But you know what he did? He did something ingenious. All the fellows that they couldn't learn in the Kotel anymore. They can't just be switched over to start going into the workplace. So what does he do? He makes a transition Kotel. He says to these guys, listen, you're all bright, you're all capable, come learn in my Kotel. And then every Tuesday night, I'm going to have guys come, and they're going to teach you how to write a resume. And they're going to teach you where you can get a job with your koichos. All these guys are brilliant. If they can understand the koichos, they can understand the contract. If they can understand the Michtam Elio, the Mesillas Yesharim, they're learning all these from Sichas Musa, so they can't manage an office. They understand what humanity is about. They've learned all the Halakha Svarim. But who is the one who's going to put these people together? So Duvi made something Tuesday night that they have counselors, advisors, and office managers that come and give advice to all these people. And they opened the doors. And so many guys told me, many of you in this room know I spoke to you. And I can't mention any of the names. Nobody wants their names mentioned, and I respect that. And they said, we felt a place that cared for us. We were able to sit and learn. And you know what's beautiful about that, Kailo? Listen to this. They have people who are never employed. They have people who were formerly employed. They have people who now will become employed. And they have people who are underemployed. And everybody feels, I've got an opportunity. I've got a chance because somebody cares. So I want to tell you something. A fabulous pshat that I heard just a few weeks ago. You know, there's a famous Gemara that says, Yesh koina olamai b'sha'achas. A person can be koina his world in one moment, b'sha'achas. But you know, Rav Tzadik says something amazing. Rav Tzadik says, if you want to know the true meaning of a word, look at where the word is mentioned the first time in the Torah. We know that there are many words that have different meanings. What's the real meaning? The first time the word is mentioned. You would never believe this. When is the first time that the word Shah is mentioned? And then you'll see a new pshat in the Gemara. When Cain and Hevel brought their gifts to the Eibishter, the Pasuk tells us that Vayisha Hashem al Hevel ve'al Menchosai. The Eibishter turned to Hevel. However, ve'al Cain ve'al Menchosai lo yisha'o. Hashem did not turn to Cain. If that's the case, now we have a new pshat in the Gemara. Yeish Kaina Olamai. A person can conquer his world b'sha'a achas with one turn, a different perspective, a different hashkafa, a different flow of life. You know what I think the new flow of life has to be? There's nothing wrong in providing for your family. There is no shame in going out to work. How do you like that? There are many people who feel it's embarrassing to go to work. I'm not going to say where this was in Eretz Yisrael, but could you imagine? I once gave a drasha, Yontif in Eretz Yisrael, and I used an example. A guy who comes home, either from yeshiva or from work, the gabbai came over to me and said, if you ever want to speak here again, don't use that word work. You imagine? I couldn't believe it. And you know something? We have to take away this shame. Somebody shouldn't say, I'm going to work. I'm going to provide for my family. I'm a parnes. You should be proud that you're putting bread on the table in a beautiful way. Doesn't mean that a person has to stop learning. He'd come to Duvi's Kailo. He'd come to a night Kailo. Come to a morning Kailo, Disha, whatever you want to do. But you're providing for your family. You're not going to work. You're a parnes, and you should be proud of it. And that's what Duvi is here for. Duvi is here to tell all of us that there is no shame in working. A person could learn as long as he can, but once he's out, and he should continue in any way, but he's able to work and be a parnes. That's a glorious thing. That's what it says in the Ksuba, that a person is supposed to be Mepharnes's family, not his father-in-law, not his own father. Of course, those things happen, of course, in the beginning, but that's not how life is meant to be. A person is supposed to be able to be Mepharnes's family and be proud of it. I want to tell you, my grandson is sitting here from Baltimore. So I want to tell you a great story that I heard from one of the greatest people in Baltimore, Rabbi Friend. Terrific story. There was a balabas that once went to Rav Elbel Soloveitchik. Rav Elbel, I have to tell you, the brilliant Rav Elbel, the Gadol HaDor. So they're getting into a conversation, and Rav Elbel says to him, what do you do? So the man said, I'm a lawyer. I'm a lawyer in Manhattan. They continue the conversation, and a few minutes later, Rav Elbel says to him, Nu, what do you do? So the man was surprised. What do you mean? Rav Elbel's a genius. He just told him 2 minutes ago that he's a lawyer. He said, Rebbe, I'm a lawyer. He said, that's not how a Yid answers this question. He said like this, bring me a Yoina. In Yoina, it says this, that when Yoina was on the boat, and the boat, there were waves all around the boat, no place else. Everybody knew it's because of somebody that's on this boat. So they went over to him, and they said, Hagida Lanu. They said, Ma Malachtecho, what do you do? And you know what Yoina answered? Vayomer Aleihem Ivri Anoichi. I am a Yid. And I fear Hashem. That's what he said. And the Radak says, Kiven she'omar Hashem elekei ha'shamayim ani yorei, heishiv lohem al she'elos ha'mamalachtecho. What do you do? I'm a Yir Shamayim. I'm a Yid. Ivri anoichi. That's what I'm about. There's no shame in working. A person's an elech yid. And you know what Rabbi Friend told us? Rabbi Friend said when he told over the story, a stockbroker called him a few weeks later and said, Rabbi Friend, I want you to know, I heard that story. I had a paperweight made on my desk. And right now, every time I make a call, I look at that paperweight. It says, Ivri Anoichi. A Yid has to be able to know that no matter where he is in the world, Ivri Anoichi. There's one fellow in this room. You know what he told me? He said, I was so poor and no yeshiva here would take my kids. I have many children. And I'm a capable guy. I knew I was a capable guy. I was teaching in a certain yeshiva. The yeshiva closed down. But then when I came to Duvi's Kailo, one Tuesday night, one guy said to me, you know, of course you're capable. This guy's in this room. You talk to him 2 minutes, you see that he's a feyik, a mensch. But he didn't have the koyach. He didn't have the wherewithal to write a proper resume. He was focusing on the wrong things. He showed him how to write a resume. Today, the guy's a successful Rebbe. That's wonderful. He's providing for his family. His kids are back in school. There's another fellow sitting in this room who works in Judaica. And he told me, I had an idea for years. I wanted to produce something, a certain item of Judaica. Whether it was a Becher or a Menorah, it's not important what it was. He said, but they were overpriced in all the stores. I knew that it had to be reasonable. But I didn't have the wherewithal. I didn't know how to manufacture it. One day I'm learning in Duvi's Kailo. And I'm talking Tuesday night to one of the counselors there, and this guy overhears me and he says, hey, that's what you want to do? Hey, listen, I do something in my field of that. We can work together. And the guy, they produced it for all over the world, all over the country. They're selling this product because these two guys were in Duvi's Kailo, because that was a meeting place where people could have parnosa. You know what the Gemara tells us? This to me is so sad, but we all know it's true. La'olam yehi adam zor b'tfuah b'seich beisa. You gotta have parnasa in your house. You know why? She'ein meriva metzuya b'seich b'seich shel adam ela aliskei tefuah. If a husband does not bring money into the home, the wife does not respect him. And the wife begins to become argumentative. And they have shalom bias problems. It's a gemara in Azov. I'm not telling it to you. Bava metziya non tesam an aleph. Look it up. So there was a guy in Eretz Yisrael, huge family, comes to America. He knows he can't be in Eretz Yisrael anymore. The kids are starving. He has no money on the table, no food. He comes to America. He can't find a job. His brothers-in-law are after him. His family is after him. And of course, he goes into more and more depression. Finally, his wife calls Duvi. She's crying, please, please, save my marriage, save my house. Please, help my husband get a job. What does Duvi do? He throws himself into this guy, and he gets him a $70,000 job. $7,000 a year job. One guy. That's only one story. But that's what this is all about. This meeting tonight is to make sure that all of us are going to support Parnassa Network in such a way that they can do this for hundreds, if not thousands. And of course, look what happened at that expo. Thousands and thousands of people. You saw the video. You saw what Mr. Panzer and all the other tzaddikim in Klal Yisrael did. One guy here tonight told me, and he said, I can't mention his name, and of course I respect that. He said, I was there for 4 hours. I came there for one reason. I was looking to make a certain deal. I needed somebody to help me. And then I saw a prominent politician. He was standing right next to me. And I figured, why did Hashem make this Parnassa Expo? Only for me, right? Bishvili Nivra Olam. It was very difficult for me to go over to that chashuva politician. But I said, listen, you're on the board of that company. You could do something for me. And he did it. And that day was the beginning. He made $20,000 profit on one sale. How does that happen? Because Duvi cares. And Duvi, if you would see the picture of his office, you wouldn't believe it. It's not even as big as me to that table. We have to help him. He has to have a staff. He has so many wonderful ideas. I want to tell you a story that Rab Gifta told me personally. Many of you know that Rab Gifta used to come to Camp Aguda, and he would vacation there. And many times I would try to go, and I would be able to speak to him. So he once told me a story that he heard in the name of Rabbi Saul Salanter. There was a young man, he was a sheikhet, an elich yid. He came to Rabbi Saul Salanter, he said, Rebbe, I don't want to be a sheikhet anymore. He said, why not? He said, Rebbe, every day they check my chalaf. I'm not sure if they're doing it right. I have to do bedikas. I have to check if they're sirchas. I feel an achrayus to the tzibor, and then I have to parcel an animal and make a treif. I could cause a balabas to lose so much money. The achrayus is too much for me. I'm afraid. So he said, so what do you want to do? He said, I'll go into business. So Rabbi Shlomo Salanter said, did you study for smicha? Yeah, Avad, I learned chul in Yodea. And you had Kabbalah for smicha? Yeah. How long did it take you to learn? Oh, Rebbe, 2 years. So you learned 2 years. You had a b'china. You had Kabbalah. And after all that, you feel you're not a good sheikhet yet, or that you're not reliable, you're going to go into business? Did you learn Choshe Mishpat? Did you even open a Choshe Mishpat? How do you go into business without learning Choshe Mishpat? And that's a true fact. So Rab Gifta told me that he said this in Cleveland once, and he told me that a year later, after he gave that drasha, two balabatim called him up and said, Rebbe, we want you to know we heard your drasha. The next day we started a shir in Choshe Mishpat. It's a year later. We are shocked at how many yesurim we were over the years, over the year. And the truth is, there's a wonderful place that was started by Moshe Pagro, and it's called this Business Halacha Institute. And in so many communities, they have halacha, they have rebbeim, Roshei Chabura, Roshei Kollel, that give shiurim Choshe Mishpat. And now Duvi has partnered with Moshe Pagro, and Duvi is going to open up these kollels of Choshe Mishpat, these night kollels. Everybody can learn, and they have a curriculum. I have the curriculum in my house. It's amazing. What? Some of these rabbanim will teach there, of course. If they're the Vada, of course they're going to teach there. But who's going to pay them? That's what we're here tonight for. To make sure that in Los Angeles and in Denver and in Milwaukee and in Atlanta, you'll be able to learn Choshe Mishpat. All of us learn our Chaim. Who looks at a Choshe Mishpat? You know, I want to tell you just one halacha on Choshe Mishpat. It's frightening. You know what it says in Simen Shin Lamed Tes Beis? Kol HaKoyvesh Schar Socher. Anybody who doesn't pay a babysitter It doesn't pay somebody that worked for you. Ke'ilu noitel nishmosai. This is a Shulchan Aruch. Va'oyver b'chamisha laban v'asei. Do you know about paying on time? Do you know about stalkers? What are the priorities? Of course, that's in your day, but it's all part of money that we're making. These are part of the koilels. And I want to tell you something. One of the most important things is when a person is working, and this is for all of us that are in the work field, to listen to this marsha. Rav Pam, I'm sure Gedalia Weinberger heard it many times from Rav Pam. Rav Pam used to quote the marsha, and then he would quote a Ber HaGoyle and Chayshim Mishpat. The marsha in Ksubis, Rabin B'dor Hazeh, Shemakabtin Oisha Shalahem Shaloi Bemuna. There are many people that gather money, Nit Erlach, Ubchil Hashem, Kigzeles Havodes Kechovim. There are a lot of people here, I'm sure they think, you're not going to take money from a goy. It's not Gzela. Take a look at Shulchan Aruch, you'll see what the halacha really is. Then they're the guest of honor. Hashem doesn't want a guest of honor. Bebrichs mishabeirach, and he's ain't the elamitza ababa aveira. The ain't laoishes and melech. It's not going to continue. That's what the Masha is telling us. When you go into the business field, you have to be erlach. And these guys who are coming from Duvi's Koyel, they're the prime of Lakewood. They're the prime of Beis Medrash Gavaya, guys who are learning beautifully, but they just didn't feel that learning was in for them. You know what the Ber HaGoyle says? Ani koisev zois ladoiros. I write this for generations. Ra'isi rabim shagodlu v'hishirum in tor shehitu akam. I saw people that made money from fooling goyim. Lo hinichu acham bracha. Medav zayin erlach. And that's what they teach at the Choshen Mishpat Koylos. I just want to tell you two things and then we'll end with a great thought. Everybody here in this room should know, men and women, if you are not erlich in business, your kids know. There's no way you can hide it. And if you want to know why your kids are doing devious things, many times it's because they heard what you said to your spouse about how you cheated this one and you didn't pay the deductible and you're not recording everything that you earned. All these things filter down to children. I want to tell you a great story that happened with me and a co-counselor of mine in Camp Aguda, but this is not a reflection of Camp Aguda. Anybody who's ever been a counselor knows that when you have a co-counselor, they'll never give you the day off the same. You know why? Because the rotating counselor, the kids will kill them. They got to have at least one of the regular counselors that are there. But it happened one year in Camp Aguda, my co-counselor got off the same day I did. Fine. So he said, great, we'll go around to all the camps. I said, but didn't you tell your mother you're not going to come in? That you're going to come into New York? So then he said, you want me to finish them? No, okay. So he said, I'll call my mother, don't worry, and she'll figure it out. I said, what are you going to do? Now, anybody under 20 won't understand this story because they don't know what a person-to-person call is. I once told this story to my granddaughter. She said, Zadie, isn't every call person-to-person? Don't you speak person-to-person? So what happened was the guy makes a call, and he says to the operator, operator, I'd like to make a person-to-person call to Mr. Ich Kum Nisht. So the operator waits for a second and she says to him, Favos kumst nicht? Of course, only in Liberty could that happen. Where did he get this shtick from? He saw it because he saw his father and he saw his mother doing things that were dishonest and they would feel proud. I'll tell you one more thing. Everybody knows Yanky Horowitz, very famous mechanach. So one year he was a head counselor in a Hasidisha camp. So of course, Hasidisha boys, they don't drink Coca-Cola. So one day they had off, everybody was going to go into town. So he told the counselors, listen, don't buy Coke for yourself because, you know, the kids, they don't drink it. So it's not fair. You know, everybody has different standards of kosher. So if they don't drink it, don't buy Coke in front of them. He goes into one of the stores in Sullivan's in Liberty and one Chassidish kid is buying a Coke. He said, hey, what's this? I thought you don't drink Coke. My tata drink this in the office. The kid saw. He knows. So I just want to say one thing that Rav Schwab once said at an Aguda convention. Rav Schwab was once very strong. He was talking to businessmen, and he said, from this discussion, we must draw the conclusion that those who resort to cheating, trickery, dishonesty, and fraud, gezel, sheker, and inor, while they sometimes may have the outward appearance of being God-fearing Jews, in fact, they are irreligious. Rav Schwab said the New York Times has it wrong. It's not the Orthodox guys that are cheating. If they're cheating a business, they're not Orthodox. I don't care what they look like on the outside. It's chitzonius. It doesn't mean a thing. We have to know if we belong to Parnassa Network. We have an achrayus to everybody in that kollel to be erlach and to continue working in a way that's noble. And I just want to mention that the Beis Vad of Lakewood is a partner in the business halacha kollel, and they deserve credit, and they're going to continue serving the community. I know it's late, right? They deserve a round of applause. I just want to end with this thought. Usually I review, as you know, but we're not going to do it tonight because I want to hear my brother-in-law say a few words, Aaron Abcheskel, and of course, Charlie Harari. What? Okay, just tell you this thing. Rav Moshe Shera was one of the greatest askonim that Klal Yisrael had, certainly in our generation. He wanted to give a very special speech at a dinner. The dinner was going to be on a Sunday night. And Nebuch, that Sunday morning, he passed away. It was very sad. And I remember that after he was nifter, Shimshi Shera, his son, a dear friend of mine, said to me, you know, my father's drasha that he was going to give was so beautiful, but I'm going to be talking about my father all over the country. Why don't you tell over his drasha that he was going to say? And what he was going to say, and he had scribbled on his notes in the hospital, is so appropriate, not only for what we are here for tonight, for Parnassa Network, but for everything in life. And he said like this, the Pasuk tells us that by Har Sinai, the Eibishter says, Hishomru lachem aliyas ahar v'negeya b'katzeyo. Be very careful when you're standing around the mountain. Nobody should even touch the edge of the mountain. Kol hanegeya b'har moisyumas. The Pasuk tells us that Har Sinai was so holy that a person couldn't even touch even the edge of the mountain. The Kotzker Rebbe teached a Pasuk totally different, B'derach Drush. And he said like this, imagine somebody wants to climb a mountain. Somebody wants to accomplish something. He shomer lechem. Be very careful when you're going up the mountain, v'nogeya b'katzeyo, and you're only going to touch a little bit. Kol hanegeya b'har, if you just touch the mountain, that's not life. You got to climb to the top of the mountain. That's how the Kotzker teached it. We are trying tonight to climb to the top of the mountain, to make Parnassa Network a household word in Klal Yisrael, so that everyone knows in any city that you want, you'll be able to get a job, you'll be able to be able to finance your family with pride, and then you'll be able to go and learn. That's what we came here for tonight, to reach the top of the mountain. It's a bazillion that they have just two paid workers in Parnassa. We have to thank Devorah Wall, who was given two nights ago, I got an email from her, 2:00 in the morning. She's still in the office trying to prepare for all this. It's not fair, Rabbi Sai. We have to help them, and we have to make this is the turn, Yesh Kona Eloma B'Sho'achas. We have to make every person feel proud that he's working to be Mefarnas's family. And if we can do that and reach that goal, then we'll be Mekayim the Pasuk that David HaMelech said, Yegia Kapecha Tisoichal, Ashrecha V'Toivlach, Ashrecha in this world, V'Toivlach, Bo'olam Abo. The Eibishter should help that all of us should get behind Duvi and his staff and help them so that they should be able to help children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren in Klal Yisrael.